Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Michael Sidgwick, in the absence of Adam Wilborn, joined by fellow Dudley boy Michael Hamflett to discuss everything that's in store for us on SmackDown tonight. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We preview and review Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage, NXT 2.0 pay-per-views. We have wrestler interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Hamflett, what's the time? 20 minutes. Easy 20 minutes in and out. There's one thing advertised for the show tonight, and that is the return of Brock Lesnar. I'm a casual fan of SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's just easy to just cobble together most of it on a Sunday night before we record the review pod on a Monday, personally, yeah, for me. So following the events of Crown Jewel, at which he was screwed, he went on a rampage, subsequently fined $1 million, was it?
Yes.
By Adam Pearce, and suspended. He's now been unsuspended. Why? Because they need him back because the storyline demands it.
There was no narrative explanation given beyond Adam Pearce pulling his collar like a sort of cartoon. Oh, no.
Wasn't it his decision?
Well, yeah, but even his villainy hasn't been explained. Like, his and Sonya Deville's sudden turn to this authoritative dark side was never fleshed out. They weren't driven to it or anything like that. It just happens, doesn't it? Just happened.
I mean, Christ almighty. So the idea is they've got Lesnar back, which I find curious, and that's why we're going to discuss here. It's not as if, and we're going to, don't worry, brother, I've got the fifth goddamn bullet point written down. It's not as if SmackDown is approaching anything to a ratings crisis. Mm-hmm. It's held up, there's two words I would use to describe, remarkably or inexplicably well. Every time there's like an excuse for Dynamite. I know, it's a time zone. It's just a time zone. Raw, well, it's like, it absolutely sucks and it's 3 hours long and they face major competition. Like, SmackDown somehow gets that number that they are getting every single week, despite good competition, despite Friday being a more social night, which accounts for the great attendances. And people didn't think the ratings were going to be that strong. The show's held up remarkably well. So it's not as if Lesnar's coming back to save it because it needs saving. Can Brock Lesnar save SmackDown? You've ruined the bullet point. The inexplicably successful TV program. Are they going to do, given the calendar, Reigns versus Lesnar at day one? And if so, what have they got for WrestleMania? Because I'm thinking nothing.
Well, that's the, genuinely, for WWE, which makes a change, that is the interesting conversation. Day one, no. Royal Rumble, possibly.
Yes, that's odd.
Like, Royal Rumble, very possibly Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, which is almost a, I don't know, are they asking dickhead pundits like us out for a fight by daring to put Brock Lesnar in the Royal Rumble match against Roman Reigns? Because we know what that match is. That match is always, right, you can fake a bit of heat for the January show, but the title isn't changing hands. Have a bit of fun with it. And to be fair, this is a rematch. That's the show to do it on. They had the big one. They had the genuine tension of it all in Saudi Arabia. They've clung quite nicely, I might add, onto the Paul Heyman suspense. That's the best part of the story. It was before, it still is now. So I expect more of that. If whatever Brock does tonight, they'd be mad not to use the Paul Heyman stuff, because they did well enough to hold on to it with Paul Heyman overacts, and that's really cringeworthy. But the fundamental tenet of the story is, whose side is he on? And is he, in fact, still on his own and still trying to keep both sides sweet? So, yeah, I could, if not day one, the Royal Rumble. But ultimately, what we're talking about is for the now, not for the then. It makes WrestleMania and discussion of WrestleMania actually more fascinating if they are going to blow through Brock Lesnar. Typically, when WWE does this, oh, he's coming back and there's nothing you can do about it now, it's for not just for the tonight, it's for the announcement of the big match. And you think you've got a problem now, well, wait till day one or wait till Royal Rumble when you're going to get this title match. I'd be amazed if they don't. I'd be amazed if Brock Lesnar is only coming back to pop this number this week and they haven't got the match in mind. I guess Adam Pearce could say, and he could like fall back on this, I'm really sorry, we've got Sami Zayn and there's something more to discuss about Sami Zayn, which I genuinely quite liked from last week's show.
I'll write that down then. I've got it written down. Scrambling for bullet points this week.
There is a nice Sami Zayn story being told, I think. But I quite like the idea that Adam Pearce, who otherwise wouldn't give a toss that Sami Zayn has won a number one contender's title shot, could suddenly think, oh, I'm afraid you're out of luck, Brock, because Zayn won this match and it's him, Roman, at day one, and you'll have to wait your turn and all that. So they might actually go with Zayn, Roman, at day one. I'm not so sure they will. And what does Roman Reigns do? He looked on from his chair at the head of the table, which was, it was a sofa chair, it was nowhere near a table, in his locker room eating salad, watching the Battle Royal last week. At some point, he's going to have to speak on this with confidence and agency. He can't, I don't think, anyway, this Roman Reigns character can't keep being the boilerplate WWE coward to Brock, can he? Like, it doesn't work for this dynamic that, as you say, is somehow, Roman at least, is somehow keeping people on the hook. I think I can work out, you know, you called it inexplicable. I think I might have an explanation for you. When I was younger...
It's the last bullet point.
What's that? How are they keeping their audience?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got, well, in which case, great. I've got some content for
that. Good, because I needed something, because I didn't give us anything to preview.
That's okay. I would welcome Roman Reigns speaking on this before Brock arrives. I would like Roman to take a bit of agency back. Moreover, I don't want Roman Reigns to do his slow, deliberate walk to the ring. I don't want him to do his slow, deliberate promo with his boring cadence. I want him to get some content out there. I want him to get some words out there. I've been thinking, right, SmackDown's 2 hours long, yeah?
Yes.
120 minutes.
Yes.
I think the big dog can go...
You just made us think of MTV2 now. I'd rather watch that than preview this.
That was great. Well, I think the big dog, the old head of the table, our old tribal chief, if he really tries, can do 1,000 words a minute for all of SmackDown. Now, that would total 120,000 words on WWE television. But if that's not the type of 120,000 words you would like, I can't think of anywhere else you could get them.
Well, you can get 120,000 insightful, passionate, analytical words all about the formation and the 2-year lifespan so far of AEW at, in book form, whatculture.bigcartel, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, written by myself, Michael Sidgwick, and I'm not saying this, right, is the desperate sales pitch of, oh, you know, it's nearly sold out, so get your tickets now, otherwise you might miss out, like, legitimately.
Awful when acts do that online, isn't it? There's a few left if you come quickly.
Legitimately, there's very few left, to the point that I'm expecting that we'll have to do another print run at some point, but maybe they'll just do some kind of secondary market racket.
Oh, that'd be great. Imagine, like, finding a book on, like, Viagogo or something.
Basically, if you want it soon, you want to order it now, because I imagine the Christmas period will delay. I would expect a reprint, kind of out of my hands. Get it now. Buy it now if you want it as soon as possible. For the Brock thing, for me, it's so weird because I've been saying for ages at this point, what else, other than Roman versus Brock, have they got for WrestleMania 38? And at this point, it's like, oh, they might even not do that at WrestleMania 38. I don't know what happened tonight. I expect Brock Lesnar to come back all pissed off with a nice, beautiful big Brock smirk on his face. He's great at that. Brock and Sammy interactions could be great.
Yep.
Like, they could be like a little buddy unit going up against the bloodline. That would be genuinely good value.
Would be quite funny.
But ultimately, the only thing I can think of is if they're doing it quicker than Mania, which would suggest to me they'd seem to write him out in their stupid customary way to excuse him from the things that are happening now that are going to bring him back in time for Mania season. That doesn't seem to be happening. Might they have Paul Heyman realign with Brock Lesnar and do a third match with Roman being the babyface, so the dynamics all completely changed?
Christ. I mean, it's not that wild considering they've done an absolutely hideous job of building up a babyface for Roman.
Yes.
So maybe you just...
He's the babyface all along.
Yeah, maybe just do it now, I guess. You got me thinking there about... Remember that on-screen rib when Sami Zayn was like concocting strategy with Roman and Seth? And they were just
yes.
like, this guy talks, you know.
Because he was infamously
a
perfectionist, annoying bastard backstage.
Owens kind of loves him for it, but everybody else is like, oh, this guy. Like, imagine if you have that with him and Brock and the fight in the Bloodline and he's just doing all the talking, his hands are flailing all over the shop and he's like, and you know, by the way, there's a conspiracy going on against me, so you're going to have to watch out for this and blah, blah, blah. And Brock just does the, you talk too much. But you're all right. And then gives him the elbow, but knocks him clean out of shot with it. Like Sammy just goes flying out of shot, like Adam Cole off a Keith Lee charge or something like that. You saw me on that. I'm banging to Brock and Sammy versus the Bloodline.
It's like the weirdest energy together. Yeah. But I like it. On the subject of Sami Zayn, he was determined as the number one contender last week in a match that got my attention, not necessarily in the best way, but I'm thinking, they're not going to do this match. Mm. How do they do this match, or how do they get out of doing this match? Like, Sami Zayn could still be, like, an incredible babyface opponent for Roman Reigns. Maybe they're thinking, like, who else have we got? You said you had a take about Sami Zayn. I personally, before I get that from you, would think that... Does he, at some point, look in the mirror and go, I've been an irritating tosspot for the last 2 or 3 years. I can't blame a conspiracy any longer. It would be such a great match if Sami Zayn babyface goes up against Roman. Is that where they're heading, or where do you think it's heading?
Well... I actually personally think that is far too detailed and nice for WWE to do, but it's
indeed
a great sort of idea for how to book this character. In what I like about this Sami Zayn thing, and it's the right time of year for this to be happening, so he got his title shot last week, and that is still his. That's safe. However, he wasn't even allowed to smell the roses because Kayla was there to say, Brock's here next week. So as much as Sami should have been celebrating, not only was he stressed about the very existence of Brock, which
it's
is
more conspiracy stuff.
It is, but it's specific conspiracy stuff because that was twice in a week he was screwed out of a title shot because of the egg.
Yes.
Now, that felt joined up. Sami finds the egg, doesn't get the title shot that he was promised for getting the egg, wins a title shot by winning a battle royal, theoretically has it, but... If fighting the head of the table wasn't hard enough, he's potentially got Brock. There's two ways I think you could go with this. You do the Seth Rollins, John Cena, Brock Lesnar monster triple threat, where Sammy's like, are you kidding me? My title shot, inverted commas, is Brock and Roman in the same match. And that preserves the singles dynamic between Brock and Roman for the Royal Rumble. It's just a cute gag of a match at day one.
If they did that, what a near fall potential there would be in Sami Zayn stealing a spear roll-up or something.
Pushes him out of the ring ever so briefly. It's going to bang. That match will be really good.
Really fun.
And you keep the singles match safe for the Royal Rumble, but it's something fun for day one. It goes on the undercard. Roman obliterates Sami to retain. Job done. Or does somehow Sami find this title shot, like the egg one, lifted from him, and the conspiracy, for the first time, is real. The management of the heels, Vince McMahon, is a... odd guy on Raw.
Yeah.
And Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville are arseholes across both brands. And fans, because they're in the building, actually can rally around Sammy again. Like, all of this stuff that he was doing because he was a loony lefty, it's actually happening.
Yeah.
Everything he's saying is true. And he wins the Royal Rumble. Or he's told he's going to win the Royal Rumble by management that know that his contract is coming due and are trying to think of ways to keep him. And suddenly you have a very credible and tenured Royal Rumble winner that is just picking up babyface steam because he's been legitimately cheated out of 2 title shots. I just thought it was nice that it happened to him in the same terms twice in a week.
Yes.
And he's so good that he gets bad material over. And I think this is verging on good material.
This is genuinely, they'll find a way to book it or it will get messed up. It will get messed up.
Yeah.
But so hope that kills you specifically, isn't it?
Always, every time.
How have you got these hopes and these ideas?
It's growing up working class. Putting 30 years into something as you're told to.
Jesus Christ. What time are we on?
It is actually going to bring me to... That'll tie into point four or five of your bullets, by the way, as well.
Well, speaking of bullets, not long left. Get in. So number three.
Love this. We're doing a V5
V5 on SmackDown. Tony Storm to fire back. The babyface got pied twice.
Yep.
This is the thing that happens to the heel once, and it happened to the babyface twice, which doesn't really give me any...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Reassuring indications that they're going to do a pretty damn detailed and good Sami Zayn babyface turn. If I'm being honest, this company's absolutely clueless. Tony Storm versus Charlotte. After, you know, the thing is, like, she won't get enough credit for this, but Tony Storm got, like, ridiculed a couple of years ago for her genuinely disastrous promo game. I generally think she's actually improved somewhat. She's got a bit of composure. She'll never be confused with, like, someone who can really sell you a fight or, like, this absolutely incendiary talker. But I think she's done remarkably well to just polish it up and become passable.
Yeah.
She did stumble on her words a little bit under the Fox glare in that exchange with Charlotte Flair last week. Do they even like her? Is this placeholder stuff? The match will be great, but no one gives a toss about Tony Storm, and they're not likely to. So how did, from the fallout last week, this week, how do they save Tony Storm?
There is some political mirroring going on, is there not? The Survivor Series match didn't happen as it was happening between Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. By that, I mean that Charlotte Flair did the old Triple H.
Every dog ever do it.
Yeah, smiled with the belt over her shoulder and walked out as if she'd won. Do you know what? Like, that's been understated, in my opinion, coming out of that show. That's some proper 90s political juice. Wrestlers rarely care about the wins and losses anymore because they have that care beaten out of them. It was pretty cool to watch that play out, wasn't it?
Yes.
You just don't get that now. Like, a wrestler is like, is that good for my character, Vince? I don't give a f*** about the character. Go out there and lose. And they just do.
Yeah.
You don't get that sort of spice anymore. And, like, as ugly as that finish played out, Becky, the ostensible babyface, has got a cheat to win. Yeah. Charlotte, the heel, walks out going, got me this. I kind of love that two people could have the stroke,
yes,
and the care to want all this. But the political mirroring continues because Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan is on Raw, and Charlotte Flair and Tony Storm is on SmackDown. You're not telling me that they're not going to be now competing with each other so you can do the better job of elevating a loser in a storyline.
Yes.
So I think that's happening. I think Charlotte Flair will want to have something better with Tony Storm than what Becky Lynch is doing with Liv Morgan.
Not hard.
Not hard enough anymore because of Monday's segment and just generally how that's kind of flopped.
Yeah.
Ultimately, this won't elevate Tony Storm to the next level because levels don't exist anymore. Tony Storm is getting her turn.
Yeah.
The match will be better because Tony Storm is better
than Liv. Tony Storm rules.
Is better than Liv Morgan. Like, that's not to be cruel to Liv Morgan, but brass tacks are. Charlotte's got an easier job on her hands because Tony Storm's pretty great. The pie over two videos where it was used as a thumbnail by WWE's YouTube accounts did a combined total of 2.3 million views you know why people are clicking Tony Storm in the pint of fist?
Yeah.
Or the new, or they're into that. No kink shaming, they're into it.
No, they knew deep down, right, that it wasn't cum. If they were reminded of their own cum,
yeah,
they need to go and see a doctor.
Some people are into gunge and pie and stuff.
Yeah,
they?
But like, does your cum look like that?
Never. But
I don't want to think about that. But
essential stare break and continue. No, it's,
but like people have gone, what if it actually is? That's clearly what they've done.
Was it a pie or was it the pie from American Pie? Because it
went to what if it is? Though?
That's the numbers.
What if it's just a lot of it?
We know why it's been clicked. They knew what they were doing when it was clicked, but numbers, engagement, blah, blah, blah. They'll see this feud as a success. Tony Storm might claim a measure of revenge this week, which won't do half as well for clicks, but the match will be better. So Charlotte Flair will want this to go as well as possible. It'll be like, not doing so well throwing the ladder down on Raw, are you? I thought I was the selfish one. Remember that story that got out that she wanted Bianca Belair to beat her right around the time of the heat?
Yeah.
This is her opportunity to like manifest something that looks like a version of that. So I think it will be good, is what I'm saying. I think the promos might be, but I think the match that they're building to will be pretty great. It's a nailed on day one match, this, because Tony Storm loses.
The issue is we're previewing SmackDown and not day one, so this is probably going to be a rubbish segment of television.
Afraid so.
With Charlotte Flair going, something like, oh, I'm sorry. How can you talk with all that cream in your mouth? You know, it's awful.
It was Thanksgiving, Tony. You should have been thanking me, the Queen, for even mentioning your name. Have we known who Charlotte Flair is for like 3 years? Who is this character?
I find it insufferable.
It bends your mind trying to work it out, doesn't it? You are just bending over backwards to try and understand if she's a heel or a babyface, what her true motivations are, who she even thinks she is. I do not get it.
No.
I don't get this. Like, I might not like.
Unbearable when she's got a microphone in her hand.
Well, I might
in
not.
In the worst kind of way.
Like, or I don't particularly get a lot of joy seeing Becky Lynch try and swim against the tide with this character on Raw. On Raw. But I know who the character is.
Yes.
Big Time Bex is a very, like, you can see it. You just don't want to see her portraying it.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm looking at with Charlotte Flair, and I haven't known for years at this point.
Penultimate thing. Is Drew McIntyre versus Adam Pearce the next Steve Austin? I can't even do the voice. Why are they doing Austin McMahon? Why are they doing this?
Is this going to lead to a big closing segment after Adam Pearce has been screwing with Drew? You're screwing around too much. Screwing with Drew for too long that he holds the sword against his head like the Bank 316 gun. He's just got Angela up against him. Oh, you pissed yourself.
That's going to go at the other end. Imagine that.
Don't you dare get on Angela's tip. I'll shove it up there. Maybe the Drew stuff is pretty good, and that never ends well. The matches have been of a genuinely good standard, and every year the draft is rubbish. The Survivor Series straight after the draft is even worse. And yet, every year WWE get really lucky. We talked about this on the review of SmackDown this week. Somehow, one wrestler actually feels like they've changed companies. I don't know how they do it.
Yes.
It's the Seth Rollins thing about the ropes and Tom Phillips being in the chair instead of Michael Cole. But one wrestler gets that look, and this year it's Drew. The matches have been good. He genuinely feels like he started again. I think it was because there was just nout else left from on Raw. They'd squeezed every bit of juice out of the fruit on Raw, and he genuinely feels like the new guy, like the SmackDown roster, whoever that even is, should be concerned about Drew patrolling the halls.
Yeah.
Which, by virtue of that, means that Adam Pearce needs to put a thumb on him because bosses hate talent.
But why?
It's never been established why. Since 1998, an authority figure has not explained why they hate their top talent so much. Before WrestleMania 14, Kevin Kelly, of all people, interviewed Vince McMahon, the owner, in the ring. And the owner was like, I don't think Steve Austin would make a good corporate figure. Say what you will about Shawn Michaels telling everybody to suck his cack, but he'll wear a suit and he'll do what I ask him. Steve Austin doesn't like that guy. Oh, you've completely rationalized why you don't want him to win your belt. Never again has the justification been explained ever since. They just assume it to be a thing. You know, if like, we like to think our bosses are okay with us, we produce the content. Imagine like we knocked out 10 more podcasts a week than we do already. And then they're like, we got to stop them Dudleys. We got to do something about this. This isn't, I don't like these numbers. I don't like this extra cash.
I just don't get it. Especially when the new thing is, Vince McMahon as well was a very hubristic individual who claimed at the time to have just been synonymous with this industry. So of course he controlled it. Of course he wanted to control it in his image. The image that collided spectacularly with Steve Austin, which he couldn't stand. He couldn't stand the idea of this redneck guy who's just so raw, so uncontrollable, just owning that which he himself created. Mm-hmm. So you could understand, therefore, why he would cut his nose off to spite his face. What is in it for Adam Pearce to do this? He's just a middle manager.
It wasn't even. It was scarcely believable when Vince did it to The Rock in 2000. Because, I mean, look at The Rock.
Yeah.
Like, and you picked him once before.
Yeah.
So it was a stretch then when this was the tightest written show it ever was in its history.
Remember the Vince Roman one? That's somehow worse than this.
Yeah.
The Vince Roman one was the absolute worst.
Are you talking about, because there was two, are you talking about the one where Vince was a guest referee making his boobs bounce and, like, trying to get Sheamus the title, rather, or the one where, like, Roman went backstage, I'm going to have to speak to Brock Lesnar's biggest fan, and he went in Gorilla and Shane had to get between. Remember that? Like, did that, like, because it was a WrestleMania build.
Yeah.
They've done it twice, haven't they, with Vince and Roman. Oh, Brock's going to get the free pass because he's Vince's boy. That's you. Yeah. It's you.
Oh, just, they did it twice.
Yeah.
They did the stupidest, least convincing storyline ever twice.
They did the shame. It was Sheamus that they did it with Vince, where
why
he was,
would you want Sheamus instead
where
of Roman?
Roman was like Superman punching
everyone
Vince.
Everyone knew. Everyone knew as well. An absolute felonious assault on the intelligence. Oh, I don't understand. I just can't get into this. I've seen it for 20 years. I've seen it done considerably better. What, 23 years ago? I can't do maths.
Yeah, 21 years ago. Oh, no, if the Austin one was 23, yeah, that's right.
23 mm-hmm. years ago, I've seen it much better.
Mm-hmm.
When it made sense. This is stupid. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. On the subject of this being stupid, that plot development being 23 years old and it's never made less sense. On
people have completed doctorates at university in the that were... like, not alive when this storyline was last relevant.
How does the show continue to do really well? I can understand, right? I do try and put myself in the position of, you don't like it, that doesn't mean it's automatically bad. Mm-hmm. These things tend to be subjective. I can vaguely understand when there was a little bit of intrigue surrounding, like, the bloodline and the Roman character was fresh, and you really, I think they did well to present Roman with such conviction as a character, because you hadn't felt like that with a full-timer in... at least a character that people actually connected to or intrigued by.
I thought the Jey Uso arc was amazing. Legitimately
people
brilliant.
People really, really liked it. I don't get it anymore. I don't get why this show continues to do really, really well in the ratings. You're the guy who's got a degree of latitude in terms of watching this. What's your explanation? Because you've gone off SmackDown completely.
Yep.
I never see it like... furiously defended by the worst people on Twitter anymore either. Like, what's going on?
I am entertained more by the drivel on Raw than I am by the kind of disappointment of SmackDown. Big E popped the bubble, if it was even still floating through the air, about Roman Reigns. To me, there was a distinct feeling around the time of the build to the first Brock Lesnar match that they haven't got the babyface. They have not got the babyface. If it's The Rock, The Rock's losing. So he's a big match, but he's not the guy. And it was senseless to not have Big E beat him when there was no stakes. Senseless, because you could have gone back to that in 2 years and they didn't. So it's, they haven't got one. They can't build one because they can't build anybody ever. So they're not, whoever your favorite wrestler is never going to get a 2 year long push. Is never going to get a Hangman Page story to eventually rise and beat Roman. It's just not happening. So I think like all faith is gone. In terms of an explanation for the continued audience of SmackDown, I might have something for you, but it doesn't tie directly to Roman Reigns.
That's okay.
We're recording this. SmackDown's a Friday night. We're recording this on a Friday, as close as we can, because we like to see what WWE previewed, which in this case is nothing.
Nothing.
But we record it on a Friday afternoon all the same. This Friday is different to my regular Friday. Tonight, I will be going out for a drink and hopefully reenacting the video to Smack My Bitch Up by The Prodigy. I'm going to be the first person, just chaos and destruction and sick everywhere. Typically on a Friday night, I would be sat in the house watching episodes of Top of the Pops on BBC 4, which also does a remarkably strong rating. Why is that? Because old knackered parents that watched this when they were younger and want that flash of nostalgia sit in front of it are reminded of a better time and fall asleep.
Yes.
That Top of the Pops rating that I watch, I do tune in, but I sometimes have to just recap the last 5 minutes the next day because it's on quite late. And I think, oh yeah, that fell asleep in front of the telly. I'll stick that back on. 2 million Americans do that every week. And that's SmackDown's
number. Are you a fall asleeper in front of the telly guy as well?
I never used to be, but I am now. I used to watch my dad doing it. And I used to think, oh, that would never happen to me. And now it does. And I realise I was the cause of that because my kids are the cause of it.
Yes. Yeah. It's honestly like, it's a good job I get my preferred recreation of choice in the form of AEW, watching it at 4 a.m.
yeah.
UK time, so I can then, you know, discuss it for work and whatnot. I try to watch things on telly on a night. Like, it's taken me and my wife about a month and a half to watch 5 episodes of Succession. Because by the time we actually do the jobs that we do, do the parenting before and after those jobs on a weekday, eat our tea, it's like, right, I just want to go to bed. You know, we've done 5 successions. Sometimes I'll say, I'll go up there in a minute and I just want to watch a Seinfeld or something. She's like more tired than me. She loves her sleep more than I do. And then I try to watch something on the Yorkshire Ripper on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Thinking, this is gross, captivating stuff. You've got to stay up for this. 5 minutes and I'm just like, I wake up half an hour later, completely lost. And I was like, oh, I've been asleep again.
Prestige TV has taken a pound in our house. Me and my wife watch Only Connect and Richard Osman's House of Games because they are 30 minutes a shot and they actually keep the mind working throughout. So they actually kind of force you to think a little bit. And it's entertaining, but they force you to think. Prestige stuff. You know how there's this idea that, and Vince McMahon is excluded from this conversation, but basically all culture is fundamentally dominated by straight dudes in their 40s and 30s because once upon a time they were younger and now they're getting to the age where they're having kids as well, which is why prestige TV is becoming 30 minutes instead of an hour. Like, once upon a time it was an hour, but those people have moved on. Anything that is now 30 minutes plus stands a chance of, like, I lose that last 15 minutes.
Yes.
And I think that's why prestige TV is hitting the 20 minutes, 30 minutes, because the makers of these shows are having kids of their own.
Yes.
And they're thinking, are we still dominating the agenda? Yes, I think we are. What do we need?
Yes.
What do the Dadleys need? Because they're in the mid-30s and they're starting to tire.
I am a big fan of Only Connect. The Only Connect University Challenge hour long is like the one night per week where I'm like, well, I'm particularly going to go to bed. I want to watch Only Connect.
It's being Vince to your kids. Go to bed.
I want to watch Only Connect. It's just like this genteel kind of like, oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Makes you feel good, too.
It's
You get one question across the whole hour, and you feel great.
There's always absolute boffins
who
are incredible.
You get a 5-point run, and you can actually for the week. I'm running around celebrating like I've scored the winner.
You're a twat to the boffins.
Yeah.
Like, me and Francis, like, I think he's the worst. Like, look at him. What a privileged, awesome life he's led. Oh, I really like that Monday night. Love a Monday night. That's the latest. 9 o'clock is the latest I'll stay up.
Best thing about Only Connect, and I would fall victim to this, so I'm not shaming these people. If anybody's never watched this, any of our American listeners or anybody in the UK, it's a very, very, very niche quiz show with intentionally difficult questions with people that are just excellent at quizzes, general knowledge, and just knowledge, full stop.
The application of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. It's thinking very, very, very laterally, but in like quite oblique ways.
Yes.
It's a really lovely half-hour quiz. And the host goes around and introduces the contestants one at a time, and they're there for the love of quizzing. They're not there to be television stars. You don't win a big prize. You just win because you're the best thinkers in the UK this year. And they're required to provide a fun fact about themselves. And the fun facts are always so lame because I'd love to be good enough to go on. I'd never do out of shame.
Nah,
I'm not on these people's levels. These people are amazing.
Could do the weakest link.
They don't do that anymore. I could give it a bash, but I couldn't do Only Connect. But these people haven't pissed half the life away like we have watching wrestling or drinking. They've read.
Yes.
So it's like, Tom from Exeter was once on a stag do and tripped over his shoes. Cool. And he was like once on that one stag do once as well. They're great.
There's something that as well. It's like we can make people feel a little bit cool watching this.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wins with Only Connect. It's the very opposite of WWE.
Apart from me, who's thick and can't answer the question. Are you going to Only Connect? I need some kind of segue to get the hell out of here. Let us all know at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter whilst you're there.
Imagine the feed later on. Yes, I'm going to Only Connect at WhatCultureWWE. Oh, thanks. Like, imagine you checking the feed later on. What the fuck's this?
I'll be checking. Will you be checking? You're off Twitter.
I'm off Twitter at the moment, but I might go back just to look at that. It's going to be Wilborn checking for the pod on Monday.
Well, here's what is going to happen. You're going to come back to loads more followers, and they can follow you at
Michael Hamflick.
You can follow me at M. Sidgwick. Once again, you can follow us all on Twitter at What Culture. Oh, Jesus Christ. At What Culture WWE. It's a Friday. Forgive us. And over the weekend, we've got lots more great podcast content coming your way. So subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever. And until then, we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.